All right, we are continuing the Psalm 62 series that Danny started last week, and he talked about resting in God, and he shared the verses from Psalm 62. Oh, this isn't working, guys. Psalm 62, verses 1 and 2. If we can go to the next slide, that would be great. There we go. I wait quietly before God, for my victory comes from Him. He alone is my rock and my salvation, my fortress, and where I will never be shaken. What a beautiful space that is. A space to be with God and have total connection, safety and community with God, knowing that He is in control of everything. What a beautiful space to be in, and I like calling it the quiet place. You know, it's not a place that is busy and lots of commotion, and it's not influenced by the pressures of the world and the relationships around us, but it is just me and God, and everything else fades away, and it is a beautiful space to be in. And we should want to be there. And today's sermon, I'm going to call it a sermon, but really it's a part two of last week. I'm going to continue on from what Danny was talking about, because Danny gave us this idea of it's good to be in God's presence and to find the quiet place. But today I want to bring that idea down, and I want to have it hit the road. Because sometimes it's really good to go, well, that's fantastic that we should want to be in that quiet place with God, but what does that practically look like for me day by day? And that's what we're going to talk about today. So how do we get into the quiet place? Because it can be quite difficult. I remember when I was younger, I was wanting that. I didn't have the words of the quiet place, but I knew that my heart was seeking for that space. I wanted to be in that place where all my worries faded away and it was just me and God, and I could just listen to His voice. And as a young person, I'm like, well, I've got to look around and see what people around me are doing to get into that space. And I remember one night I got out of bed because I needed a glass of water, and it was about probably 1 a.m. and I walked to the kitchen and it's really dark and I'm working my way through the hallway, and all of a sudden I could see some light peeking around from the lounge room. And in the lounge room, there was one single light on. It was a lamp that was over the coffee table where my dad sits at the couch. And he's sitting there. Every light in the house is off except that one light. And he's sitting there with his old King James Bible sitting out in front of him. And next to that, he's got a Good News Bible. And then next to that, he's got an NLT. And next to that, he's got an NIV. And next to that, he's got a commentary. And he's got an interlinear. And he's got a couple of bickies and a coffee. And he's having his academic time. Time where he's really just digging into God's word. And I remember the next morning, I found that interesting. One, it was 1 a.m., go to bed. But two, that's what he wanted to do with his spare time. That's how he found the quiet place. And the next morning, I talked to him about it. I said, hey, I got up to get a glass of water and I saw that you had all these things out. Can you tell me more about it? And he said, that's just a time where I want to be quiet and let God talk to me. And I thought, well, that's exactly what I want. That's exactly what I want. So I thought, tonight, I'm going to go to the quiet place. So what happened is when we got later in the evening, it was getting closer to midnight, because apparently I thought that it was 1 a.m. That was a key ingredient. It needed to be at 1 a.m. So I went to the bookshelf and I grabbed some commentaries that he wasn't using, some Bibles that he wasn't using. And I sat in my room and I prepared this space with Bibles here and a interlinear there. And I had a jotter, like an old pad, and I was ready to write down what God was going to say to me. And I reckon within 3 minutes I was in the quiet place because I fell asleep. Because it didn't work. And I'm like, wow, how come he can go to the quiet place like this, but I can't? And as a young Christian, the first thing that goes into my head is, what's wrong with me? Why can't I get to that quiet place? Why isn't God meeting me at that quiet place? What have I done wrong? Maybe I've done something, maybe I need the wrong amount of biscuits on the plate. Maybe, like, what's going on? And I've got a video to show you, which is a bit of an illustration about what I got wrong. So enjoy this video. It goes for about a minute.
This is a square. Can you guess which spot that goes
the
in?
The square.
That's right. It goes in the square hole.
Yes. Okay.
And how about this rectangle? That one?
Also the square.
It goes in there too.
Yeah.
Up next, we've got this thin rectangle.
The thin rectangle.
Can you guess where that goes?
The thin rectangle.
That's right. It goes in the square hole. And up next, a cylinder.
The circle.
I think that goes in
the circle.
The square hole. Now, we've also got this semicircle right here. Do you see a slot that would fit
the semicircle?
Semicircle?
The semicircle.
That's right. It's the square hole. Okay. Up next, the triangle. We know what hole that goes
the
into,
triangle.
Right?
Triangle.
That's right. The square hole. And up next, we have the arch.
The arch. The arch.
You guessed it.
The arch.
It goes in the square hole.
There we go. Who likes that one? Everything goes in the square hole, right? All the different shapes, they must fit in the square hole. And we are Christians created diversely. We have many differences about who we are, many parts of one body, with different gifts and different makeup. Romans 12 says this. It says, just as our bodies have many parts and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of the one body and we all belong to each other. In his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing things well. Not only is it different gifts, but a different makeup. We are built radically different from the person that is sitting next to you. We are varied by God's design in our makeup. We give and receive love differently. We have different leadership styles. We tackle problems differently. We raise children differently. We spend our leisure time differently. We have different interests. We have different McDonald's orders. We support different football teams. We are a beautiful, varied kaleidoscope of different people as one church. And somewhere along the way, we subscribe to this idea that when it comes to connecting with God and being in the quiet space, we've all got to fit in the same shape hole. We've all got to fit and look the same way because that's the only way you should be connecting with God. But instead, we need to realize we are built different, even in the quiet place. You see, God is so multifaceted and expansive that he can meet us in any quiet place that caters to the way that his hand has made us. He made us this way. He knows what that space looks like. As I said earlier, this is not a standalone message. This is a part two of last week. So what I want to do is I want to give you five tools. That's it, just five tools. That might be something different to help you connect into that quiet place that you may struggle to find. Five different ways that you can connect with God that might be different to what you've heard, may not, and examples of why I think that's really important. Now, there are many, many ways. You can go to Google and type in, how do I connect with God? And there will be hundreds upon thousands of ways and ideas that people can give you to connect with God. But I think really they come under one of these five categories. The first one is this, musical worship or music. You know, I was talking earlier this week with Steph about this. And musical worship, if I can be totally honest and blunt, it's not my number one way that I connect with God. I love singing worship songs. I love singing songs about God. I love singing to God. I love music about God that brings me into that space. It's beautiful. It's just not the natural default for me. But for Steph, it is. And Steph, you put worship music on and you can just watch her. She just goes into that space really quickly and it's just her and God and everything else fades to darkness because she's in that space with God, that quiet place. And it helps that she has an amazing singing voice so she can jump in that space easily as well. Now, I say that's not a default for me, but yesterday I was in the office working away, and all of a sudden the song Goodness of God came on, and bam, I was there in that quiet place. But if you're one of those people that you're like, okay, I need to find the quiet place, I need to rest in God, I need to do that, and there's all these pressures of the world, all right, everything off, everything away from me, I'm just going to sit here and whack. Okay, God, I'm in this quiet place, now what? Maybe put some music on. Oh, that's emotionalism. Our God gave us emotions. Let them wash over you the words of the worship music. Let God speak to you through them. Be in that space. It is an amazing way to connect with God. And by the way, I'm not spending much time on any of these because I'm aware that I've only got 4 minutes left, so we're going to fly through them. The second one is silence and solitude. And if you're a very busy person, this might be a winner for you. Because silence and solitude makes you stop and slow down. Busyness is one of the biggest enemies of finding that quiet place with God. And silence and solitude hits it head on. A couple of years ago, I was at a leadership training program called Arrow. And one of the first things they do in Arrow is they say, all right, you're going to go have some silence and some solitude with God. We're going to see how you go with this. So the only thing you can take with you is your Bible. That was it, a Bible. Your phones, put them here. You'll hear a bell at a certain time, and that's when you know you can come and get lunch from this table and take it back to where you're having solitude. But then, nothing else. No phones, nothing else. Just you and your Bible. And I'm like, wow, this is going to be tough. It was 9 a.m. and they're talking about lunch being rung. Like, we're going to have 3 hours of just nothing, sitting there with silence, just reading the Bible. That's confronting. What I didn't know is that it wasn't 3 hours, it was eight. 8 hours of no distractions. You weren't going with someone else, you had to be alone. And I'll tell you what, it's some of the best 8 hours I've ever had in my life. The first couple were difficult. You're weaning yourself out of your normal. I need something to distract me. I'm missing out on something. I've got to check my latest status. I've got to see if anyone's liked that photo on Instagram. I've got to see if I'm getting messages. No, none of that. It's just what's God saying to me now. And that was the day I picked up Judges. And I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to read through Judges a couple of times. It was more than a couple of times. And it's my favorite book of the Bible now because God showed me so much in that space. Maybe if you're a busy person, my challenge for you this week is try silence and solitude. And it doesn't have to be 8 hours. It can be 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 30 minutes, an hour. Whatever you can spare, give it a whirl. The next one you've heard me talk about a lot because this is my jam, nature. I love nature. I find it very difficult. In fact, I don't think I've ever stood in front of the ocean and not been drawn immediately into the presence of God because, and I say that flippantly because God's everywhere, but I'm aware of the presence of God because of the hugeness and the might of the ocean. And as huge as this ocean is, I can't see the other side, and I know that I'd have to travel a very long time even just to get to the other side. How big this thing is, how mighty it is, it could kill me in moments. In fact, it has killed hundreds of thousands of people in its time. It is untamable, yet God holds it in his hands and it listens to his very voice, and it only goes where he says it can go. I can't stand in front of the ocean and not be drawn into the might of God and immediately into that quiet place. Same with a stream. If I'm near a stream, it's that closeness of God. The other night, Keziah and I did the Two Towns Trail, and we did it way too late. We started, and we're like, yeah, it's good. It's like 7 p.m., right? We get to the other halfway mark. We turn around to come home, and it is dark, like pitch black. But the beautiful thing on the Two Towns Trail, you go halfway and there's all the lights from the towns have dissipated and you look up and there's just so many stars. And in that space, again, God, look how big you are and how much you care about me. I know you're so relational, but so huge. Nature, immediately for me, draws me straight into the presence of God that way. I'm aware of him there. Maybe it'll be the same for you. Next one's journaling. Try journaling. Writing something down. You know, sometimes we say things and when we want to pray verbally, it's hard to get the words. It's hard to find the words. But actually finding a different part of your brain to write those things down can be really helpful. So maybe you could try that. I know that there's probably so many people in the room right now going, I don't own a journal. And I'm not going to be one of those people walking around with a journal and a Bible together. Like that's a little bit weird. I'll say it, girly. But try it in a different way. Years ago, I was like, oh, I want to pray and I don't know what to pray and I don't know what to say. So I opened up my computer, opened up a Word document, and I just started writing to God. And within a few minutes, I was just bawling because I was writing the things that I couldn't bring myself to say, or I didn't know the words how to say it, but for some reason, I was able to communicate it through typing. Or maybe for you, it's writing, yeah? And then when I finished typing all that stuff to God, I pressed X and don't save. I didn't need to save it. I'd already communicated it to God. But maybe you can try journaling. That might trigger something in you that helps you enter into that quiet place when words don't seem to be flowing and coming. And the last one I'm going to give you is exercise or tasks, doing something. And if you're a person that can be, you're feeling, okay, well, Ads is talking about, and Danny did last week, about finding that quiet place with God and talking to God about your problems and giving them over to Him and letting everything else fade away, that can be confronting. But doing something while you're doing it, it's like when, like honestly, I'm going to give you a trick of the trade here. In youth ministry, if I'm talking to a female about stuff that's going on in their world, it's much more comfortable for me and for them to just sit down and eyeball each other and go, how are you going? Right? Guys don't typically like that. Like young teenage boys don't want to have someone sit down and go, how's your relationship with Jesus? Like it's confronting for them, right? So what we'll do is like, hey, can you help me do this thing? So we'll be doing something side to side, talking about something, and all of a sudden opening up. Maybe we're walking together. Maybe we're chopping wood. Maybe we're carrying garbage bags to the bin outside. We're doing something that's side by side and you can open up a lot more. Maybe that's the same for you with God. When you're walking and you're doing something, God, I'm going to talk to you while I'm going on this walk, or while I'm mowing the lawn, or while I'm chopping wood. Try talking to God and finding that quiet place whilst you're doing something. Sometimes it's not silence and solitude. Sometimes it's actually having a task to do. And you might be sitting there going, okay, Adam, you've gone through all five. There are two pretty important ones that you've missed. There are two paramount things of the Christian faith that weren't in those at all. And that is reading the Bible and just general prayer, right? And the reason I haven't put them in those five things is because that's the caveat to all these things, is that prayer and scripture runs throughout all of them. All of them. Because it's great to go, okay, God, I want to enter that quiet place. I want to enter that space where it's just you and me. And that's a very emotive space. That's a very personal space. And when you're in that space, sometimes because of who we are and our fallen state, we can go, I'm in this quiet place and God's told me that I don't need to tithe anymore. Oh, that's beautiful, yeah. God's told me, oh, the youth ministry needs leaders, but God's told me that's not me. It'll be someone else. God's told me that they need help doing something. God's told me that there's a need here that I can meet. God's told me that there's this and this and this, but it doesn't have to be me. By having prayer and scripture throughout, it brings everything back to the truth of God's word, and it brings you back in alignment with Him. Because in those emotive spaces, because we're fallen, sinful people, is that we have a tendency to sway off to what feels best for us. Having the word and prayer brings us back into, hang on, but God says this. This is truth. This is right. This is honorable. So here's a challenge for everybody this week. A practical challenge is choose one that you've never tried. What is one of the things I've mentioned there? Worship or music, silence and solitude, nature, journaling, or tasks, exercise or tasks, or doing something else. Remember, scripture and prayer throughout. What's one that you've never tried, ever? And then try it this week. It might not be great for you. Maybe it'll be like me and academia and sitting down at 1 o'clock in the morning reading 16 commentaries. Maybe it won't work, and that's fine. Then you know something that doesn't work for you. But try something new. That's my challenge for you. So if you want to find that quiet place, go get it. Go find it. See how God has built you. Because He wants to meet you there. He wants to meet you there. Let me pray for you. Heavenly Father, you are a good God who loves us and you want to spend moments with us and time with us. You want to tell us how awesome you are. You want to remind us of your goodness and your might and your closeness. So God, this week, we as your church, help us to find those quiet places with you. Help us to carve out time to be less busy, to see you in nature, in everything, to hear you in music, to just be with you. We want to hear that small whisper. We want to hear your voice speak to us through all of our problems, all of our trials, all of our business and life. But God, help us to stay true to your word. Challenge us this week to find you in the quiet place. In your name we pray, Jesus. Amen.